gentlemen, I'm an addict. My name's Gar.
Hey, Gar.
All right, you ready to get this thing started? Okay. Now, as you might expect, with an all-volunteer sale, workforce here, you get exactly what you paid for. I just got shoulder tapped a couple of minutes ago. It is my distinct honor and privilege to introduce our next speaker, hailing from the great state of Ohio. Been clean since May 29th. This is 1979. A participant in the writing of our core literature, the basic text. It is my honor and my privilege to introduce Mr. Jim M.
Hi, I'm Jim Amonetti. And welcome. And thanks to the folks who started the day out talking about what I would call the prehistory of Narcotics Anonymous, the early days before we had our basic text. I'm going to visit with you about the development of our basic text and perhaps some other literature ideas. Now I gotta see if this thing will work. I'm gonna make sure I got it turned on here first. It worked down there. Okay. Well, it'll just take us some time to get from slide to slide. I'll try to fill in the time. You know, it's about NA, and Narcotics Anonymous is ours, guys. It's ours. Nobody or nothing can take it away from us unless we give them or that permission. And I've got a quote here from Martin Luther King that I think is one of the most expressive quotes that applies to our situation. Our lives begin to end the day we become silent about things that matter. That's the first one. I guess I gotta go to the next one. There we go. Some interesting things happened in the very early years before 1978, and you heard some about that just lately. There was even reportedly a meeting or two in Ohio, but they didn't last. NA struggled across the world in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. And the only NA of any real consequence was in California. Now, there were serious, in late 70s, groups outside of the California in Texas and Georgia and eastern Pennsylvania that I know of, and there may well have been more other places. Here's a program from the First World Convention. And I think you can see that on some of the tables around here in a very early little white book. This is the one that my group likes to have printed and pass around to folks. Well, I'm gonna have to back up. You still hear me? Yeah. This is a flyer from the World Service Conference, the first one. And Bo, you'll hear Bo in a little bit. Bo? Okay. Closer. Okay. Bo went to the second one. And he tried to find who was writing on our literature, our basic text. And what he basically found was that there were a few writings in a few people's notebooks and other places, but nobody was actively writing or trying to produce a basic text. I got clean, and it was at an NA meeting that I declared being clean, because I didn't understand what they taught me in treatment, what people had tried to tell me at meetings, until I actually heard the phrase, "We admitted we're powerless over our addiction." For years, I had tried to believe that I was powerless over drugs, but I'm not any more powerless over drugs than I am over this remote. I can put it down, and something has to motivate me to pick it up. Anyway, NA, Narcotics Anonymous, and the phrase powerless over addiction is what allowed me to get clean. And I'm still eternally grateful. We started the first ongoing meeting in Ohio in Youngstown in July of 79. Written material on NA recovery was very rare. The office had published three issues of The Voice. Basically, it was a report of the World Service Conference until that little green one where someone started trying to write a magazine about recovery from addiction. I went to the WSC in 1980 as the alternate to the RSR. And he was from across the line in Pennsylvania, and he had supported our early Ohio meetings. And we'd been to the World Convention, which was down in Atlanta, and I was really extremely disappointed with it, because all the speakers were AA speakers at the convention. The only time there was a real NA meeting, recovery meeting, was at the Rising Sun Clubhouse the day after the convention ended. And there was a speaker from out here in California. Gosh, I forget his name. I'm getting old. But anyway, he was a real NA speaker. At the convention, the workshops were basically real NA workshops, and there was one of them that I especially wanted to go to because I had been appointed the literature chairperson of my home group. And my job was ordering literature and getting it in and then passing it out or putting it out in display on the tables. And there wasn't very much of it. And I wondered why. And I also wondered why it took some time, 6 months, for an order to get filled. You know, I didn't know that there was only Jimmy and a few volunteers at the office. I didn't realize that. That was not published anywhere. At any rate, at that World Service Conference in 1980, there were only four representatives representing the fellowship there. And one of them was just a visitor who had come from New Jersey and been given the right to vote. The officers of the conference were allowed to vote, and they were the overwhelming majority at the conference. So any idea that the fellowship's will was being done was just BS or luck. The NA literature movement had begun, and it began in several cities around the country, but primarily in Marietta, Georgia, where people would meet periodically, but usually about every week, and sit down and write about stuff. And the literature movement, as we call it, or the writing of the basic text, was really a very simple process. At the local groups, we were asked to jot down anything that moved us at a meeting. If somebody said something that mattered, something that we could relate to, we would jot it down and then get together at committee meetings and combine that stuff, or at least hand it in, and combine that stuff into input, into stuff that would soon become chapters. I didn't attend, even though I'm on the list as if I had attended, I didn't attend the first two conferences of the literature committee. I got the minutes and I talked to people on the phone, and basically, as I understand it, the most significant thing that happened was that at the second one they decided, or at the first one, they proposed a handbook for literature committees to share our local experience with literature committees across the fellowship. At the second one, they decided to make the book like a little white book, only expanded. Use each paragraph or each section of the little white book as the introduction to a chapter. And then they added the idea of an additional chapter or two at the end. Real NA-wide participation happened at Memphis at the Third World Literature Conference. And there were people there from Rhode Island or Maine to California, from Minneapolis, from Minnesota to Louisiana, from all over the country. You know, one or two people from each of the local fellowships that was represented came to participate in the conference. And it was kind of neat because I came a little while early and I hooked up with the people in Marietta, Georgia at the Rising Sun Clubhouse. And Bose Pritchock was next door. He had a job he had to finish, so four or five of us chipped in and helped him finish. He did all the screen printing and we moved paper around and loaded the van and helped him deliver it. But at any rate, there were well over 100 of us at Memphis. And, you know, we learned how to work together at Memphis. I think that was the biggest thing that happened, well, the second biggest thing. Oh, gotta push the right button. We got together in large groups, everybody. And we called them group conscience meetings or group conscience sessions. And we decided where we were going to go, what we were going to do, and how we were going to do it. Some people were only able to stay a couple of days. I was one of the lucky ones that got to stay all 9 days. And we went all day long. There was somebody working on stuff 24 hours a day. Most of us had to have 3 or 4 hours of sleep, but there was somebody up and working. One of the cool things about it, and I didn't have much time, I had, you know, just a little over a year at the time, and it didn't matter how much time you had, it didn't matter even if you were brand new. Not at this conference, but at the next one, you know, we helped a guy detox. He walked in off of the street. Bo, you'll hear from later. And he's an old fart. He's even older than me. He was chairman, leader, and coach. He helped us immeasurably. He inspired us. And every now and then, group conscience helped him to see things. And he saw it. He wasn't a government official. You know, this is a picture of a discussion written in, but came in from all over the fellowship, and we talked about everybody's ideas. You know, also, we talked about how to continue the effort of the literature movement. You know, we just did our best to do the next great thing. It was all put together in Memphis by Joseph, and those of you who knew Joseph were fortunate. Joseph is now passed, so I guess I could have his last name up there. But he was the organizer of the whole thing. He got together, I don't know, 20 selected typewriters, 4 or 5 copy machines. He put a lot of us up at his house. He drove us all around town. And later he invested his family in printing the results of what we did. Joseph was incredible. Here's a couple other individuals that I think are significant. Gina wrote a 3-page essay on everybody has an opinion on what the truth is, and we always fight about it with each other. You know, there might be 2 people that come together, both of them having the truth, and they're fighting with each other. And that's an accurate description of NA service. Roger came in, he was from the Alcohol Fellowship, and he needed NA. Alcohol was not his favorite drug. He just didn't know where the NA meetings were. And he came in and put off everything else in his life and joined us. He was a magician. He could type 70 words a minute. Now, he also had a good command of the language in a very collegiate way. Anyway, he stayed to serve, and he danced a jig with us. Our librarian kept the literature files together, and she was Linda from Kansas, and I think she contributed more than will ever be known. We didn't have anything on the traditions, but Chapter 6 was phoned in. Greg had worked on them exclusively, and he telephoned them into the Memphis Conference, the rough draft of the traditions. And I don't think there's ever been anything better and more complete written on our traditions than the 6th chapter of the Grey Book. If you don't have a Grey Book, by the way, you can go back in this room here and order them. Our group produces them for $4 a copy, which is our cost. We don't make any money on them, but we provide them to the fellowship so everybody has a piece of history of their own if they want one. The editing on the input was done in small groups of 3 or 4 people. And we usually went through each chapter at least twice at a conference, if not more times than twice. And different groups worked on it different times. And therefore, a broader aspect of the fellowship came in. And, you know, Terry was talking a little bit before. We literally cut and pasted. We had things printed up, and then if we had something we wanted to put somewhere else, we would literally cut that sentence or paragraph out and paste it up somewhere else. And then if it needed a bridge sentence or a phrase, we would write that in by hand. And then the next draft would be typed up. It'd go through the process of evaluation and workshops like this. That's George from Eastern Pennsylvania, and Paige, and another guy from Eastern Pennsylvania, I forget his name. The result of all that effort was the Gray Book. The Gray Book is a manuscript of our basic text. It was the effort of thousands and thousands of hours by hundreds of members. And anybody could be a member of the literature committee just by saying you were interested and willing. It was not limited. And I think that's the magic of it. That's why that piece of literature in particular and all of our early literature is so magical and so wonderfully N.A. This was mankind's first attempt to address recovery from addiction in a clear, concise manner. The first page describes open participation that I've been talking about. It visits with you about how any member anywhere can be involved at any level they choose to. After this was out, we received input from well over 10,000 members. And when I came back from Memphis, due to the process and the people that I met, I was a changed person. Actually, I didn't come back from Memphis until I went somewhere and did a new fourth step and fifth step. My recovery was changed, and I needed to change my attitude toward it, and a new fourth and fifth step helped me do that. Anyway, that seemed to attract a lot of members from around Ohio, where I was in service and in meetings, and they got involved. At that time, in Little Ohio, I had 34 groups in the World Directory. But actually, when I went to the 81 World Service Conference, we had over 80 groups. Oh, and by the way, that Gray Book was distributed to all the registered NA groups in the world, all 600 of them. And that number is going to be very important here in a couple of pages. The next conference was held at Santa Monica. It was about the same time or a week before the World Service Conference. There was more participation from any local fellowship previously, and finally our trustees got involved. Only Greg from the trustees had been involved before, and several more got involved at Santa Monica. We received a lot of input, and we went through a process of learning how to factor that input into the Gray Book. Sorry about my dry mouth and pausing. Anyway, what we would do is we would combine similar pieces of input into one general phrase, and then we would put that wherever it was indicated. Sometimes people said where they wanted it put or what they wanted changed. Other times they just submitted input. And we were free as members of the committee to submit input anytime we felt like it too. We'd write it out and put it in a container. All of it that anybody sent was factored in one way or another. Sometimes people would send the same thing, just a different wording, and we would combine the words into one piece of input. Three of us brought the fifth conference to Ohio, to Warren, Ohio. And my sponsee, Roy, got a school that was used for driving classes, an old abandoned schoolhouse, rented for the week. And there was a place downstairs to cook food, and there was a place upstairs to sleep. So, you know, everybody had all of their needs fulfilled. And that was in Warren, Ohio. And we went for about 10 or 12 days. We took a break over the weekend and went to Cleveland and, thank you, Atuna, and formed the Ohio region. Because a lot of areas and regions were being formed at this time so that the entire fellowship would finally have a voice at the World Service Conference. When I went as alternate to the 1980 conference, you remember there were only four representatives of the fellowship, and one of them really didn't know he was going to be a representative. At the 81 conference, I don't remember exactly how many, but there were more fellowship representatives than World Service Conference officers and Board of Trustees members and office participants. So the fellowship could actually finally have a real voice starting in 81. Every literature committee published a set of minutes, and you can find these several places online and read for yourself what went on. It took an awful lot longer than this presentation. In Warren, in Ohio, we finalized chapters 1, 2, 3, and 8. And those chapters are still virtually the same, other than unauthorized changes, as they were there in Ohio. I'm proud of Ohio, and you can see that from this slide. Oops. Yes. Okay. The rest of the book was finalized in Miami, where even more people participated than any of the other conferences. It was just a week after the World Service Conference, and we were able to announce it at the conference. Right after Miami, the chairperson, who is now Roger, was given the final drafts to go and have them printed in the approval form. But somehow he ran into troubles, personal or otherwise, and couldn't get it done. So Joseph drove to Miami, picked him up, and brought him back to Memphis and printed up the approval forms there in Memphis. We met together again in Thanksgiving and did a couple significant things. The approval form of our basic text was distributed at Memphis to all the groups in Narcotics Anonymous. This was just 8 months after we distributed the review form. And Narcotics Anonymous had 1,800 groups, registered groups, by this time. Now, you've all heard about significant growth in NA, but there's never been a tripling in the size of the fellowship over a short period of time like this. And in my opinion, the reason for that was twofold. Number one, defining ourselves through writing a basic text. And number two, more significant, the open participatory service model, where anybody, anywhere who was a member and cared to help, got to help be of service at the World Literature Committee. Oops. Oh, I guess that's right. After that, an approval form of the stories for the basic text was developed in eastern Pennsylvania at a conference. It also was distributed to the fellowship. In a little while, I'm going to show you another slide that shows the third thing that happened at that time. And it happened in Memphis, where a group of us met as a policy committee under the policy committee chairperson. And according to the changes that we had seen happen in the fellowship, we rewrote the service manual, which at that time was the NHTREE, into the Green Service Manual, which was the only one where a broad spectrum of the fellowship participated in the writing of it. I'm going to just read this. And many significant events happened at the 82 and 83 conferences. Our basic text was overwhelmingly approved by the fellowship, and a vote that RSRs only should vote at the conference was passed by the conference by a two-thirds margin. Because of a technical detail, the chairperson, who was previously the chairperson of the policy committee, and I'll visit about something else in a minute, called the vote defeated because it lacked two-thirds of the previous roll call. Now, this vote was a roll call vote, so it constituted a roll call of itself. So, in effect, all of the World Service conferences since this happened have been defunct, null and void, haven't been real. Because a significant portion of people who did not represent the fellowship voted their own conscience. Also at the conference, it came up, a motion was distributed with the, what do they call that? The fellowship report. Yeah, now they call it card, cat, all kinds of BS, but then it was just a fellowship report where everybody got an agenda of what was going to happen at the conference 90 days ahead of time. And the motion was that the conference start a subcommittee to write a monthly magazine on recovery the NA way. And eventually, after they tried to brush it under the rug, it was passed by a vast majority of the conference. Now, the one different thing about those conferences and the so-called conferences we have today is that the people were represented, and the representatives were actually called representatives, regional service representatives. And those regional service representatives gave due diligence to seeking a group conscience vote from all the groups in their region without, or at least basically without any political maneuvering on what the issues were, just simply distributing the fellowship report with the motions that were gonna be come up at the conference. And the fellowship was then devoted to fairly simplistic motions, because they knew that these motions were going to go up to groups at the top of the pyramid to be voted on, and they needed to be stuff that group members could understand. At any rate, the NA Way magazine was passed the motion, and I was elected co-chairman. Two other people were elected to be co-chairman too. And we started out working together and put the thing together. Shortly thereafter, there got to be controversy about the magazine. And the other two co-chair people basically stopped. The controversy was just too much for him. I kind of like revel in controversy, especially if I'm right and the opposition is wrong. If I'm wrong, I change. And I've changed many times, but I was right about this, and this was right for the fellowship. So I stuck with it, and here's a picture of the first years, anyways. And for a while, it was genuinely a fellowship project, the same as the World Literature Committee was. We took it around the regional conventions all over the fellowship. And if you were there and wanted to be a part of, you could be a part of the committee that was putting together the next issue. And we sold issues and subscriptions at these conventions, and eventually the subscription list got fairly large. Your subscription was only $8, which for 12 issues, that's pretty cheap. Individual issues were sold for $1, which was basically the cost of producing a small number of them. But for a while, until the office took it over, it was a fellowship project. But the office and the conference didn't like it, because the fellowship had a current, active voice, and that was not on their agenda. After we gave the book to the office to print, nothing happened. Nothing happened for a long time. So local fellowships reprinted the approval form themselves and put stuff on the cover. Free, Recovery Can't Wait. And they were distributed mainly around the eastern part of the country, but I think some were distributed in the west too. Finally, after a year, the book was published, the first edition, both red first edition, which we had designed for a fundraiser for the office to help the office get some funding and get off on its feet. And the first edition blue ones that were for the General Fellowship. Now, the only difference between them was the price. The red ones cost $25, the blue ones $8. And we had determined at the conference that after this initial distribution and fundraising, the price was going to be lowered to $4.50. However, that's another thing that was never followed. The first edition is not our basic text. Several individuals had decided to change it because some of the description of the traditions didn't fit their needs and parameters. And we'll get into that later. At the conference, the office was instructed to print the book the way it was supposed to be printed, and it was. And that's been called the second edition. The preliminary, original, and only fellowship-approved edition of the basic text is what's called the second edition. And it's only the second edition because of BS. There's mine. It's kind of worn. I believe it's a spiritual high mark of our literature. We got together again in Memphis in Thanksgiving that year. And through the process, the open participation process, we took items from the NAUA. We took input of local literature committees and developed the only valid IPs that the fellowship has, the original 13. Many of them are still the same today as they were then. Some of them have been revised without authorization. Most of the advances in service that were made came from the service manuals that proposed, and basically, in Greg's words and in the words of a small committee here in Southern California, of how to put together services for NA. Oh, and by the way, that blue one over there, it was modified by the office after it was approved at the conference and before it got printed. But it was never changed. There wasn't a loud enough voice in the fellowship yet. But those manuals resulted in most of NA's growth. We took those ideas and improved on them through the fellowship open participation process and produced the Green Service Manual, which was offered also at the 1982 World Service Conference. The chairperson, who had been chairperson of the literature or the policy committee and became chairperson of the conference, arbitrarily changed this proposed manual and only offered the conference the first half. The second half was the most important because it listed changes that the fellowship saw valid in World Service Conference structure. At any rate, it was only offered. Of course, everybody at the conference came with a vote for the whole thing, and it was generally, overwhelmingly, a yay vote. And so the first half passed with a yay vote, and very few people questioned withholding the second half. So then we got a temporary guy. And, you know, that was politics too. I'll just cut through this. The background to this is that Hazleton, I believe, had large orders for our basic text, and they disliked, and some other maybe treatment professionals and other professional people disliked, the street language that was in the fellowship approved basic text. So they wanted those things changed. At the conference, we voted to have a professional editor make tenses agree within paragraphs and sentences and change personal pronouns, his and hers, etc., so that they work together with formal English literature language. That's not what happened. They rewrote the basic text and changed substantial portions of it into the fourth edition. And I think Hazleton had been shipped over 1,000 of these when we finally came to the World Service Conference. They were shipped out before the fellowship even knew they were available, before anybody told the office to do that. And the office had kind of got the big head and thought, because a lot of money was passing through their hands, that they gave us instruction rather than the other way around. At any rate, what happened was the fellowship went to the conference and said that the book needed to be returned to the third edition revised. And the manager of the conference got up. Oh, I'm going to say his name, Bob Stone, he's dead. The other guy, that chairman of the Lit Committee and the chairman of the conference that screwed things up, he went on screwing things up. He became a member of the trustees and had one of the biggest families, sponsorship families in all of NA, and screwed things up through them. His name was Raymond. I've just been told I gotta go through the rest fast, so I'm gonna go through the rest fast. You'll have time to read them. That closure of the fellowship services and the arbitrary changed our basic text both two times, both when the fourth edition was written and the fifth edition was rewritten by people the fellowship hadn't asked to rewrite it, brought about the production of the Baby Blue, which is the third edition revised with the original seventh and fourth and ninth traditions. And they're available for $1.20. I encourage you all to get as many as you and your group can afford and to pass them out free to newcomers, so newcomers have a free basic text. And there's a place right over here back through that door where you can buy a few right after this thing. There are two types of literature on our literature table today with NA name on. One was written by addicts, for addicts, in open participatory literature conferences. One was written by self-styled experts and hirelings of the office and NAS who wrote what they thought we needed to hear. Now, I don't think it'll kill you. I don't think reading the Bible will kill you, but I don't have any opinion really on either one of them. They're not any literature. This is the only any literature. Good picture of it. Y'all know what it is. It's all available for download from our website. Everything that you need and your group needs to recover and share recovery, and it's all free. The same as recovery is free. The same as the literature committee always intended it to be free to you. It's all that was ever written by addicts seeking recovery to give away to, by addicts, to be given away to addicts seeking recovery. Here's the website. I'll get back to that in a minute. I'm trying to go fast. And here's what's out there on tables, but wasn't written by the Fellowship of NA, but rather self-styled experts that are trying to control your behavior. It works out fine, just for today. The 12 concepts, the step working guide, all IPs other than the original 13 that I showed you, and the fifth and sixth edition basic texts. Here's pictures of it so you know what it is. And if you get a chance, brush this shit off of the tables at the groups and put out the important stuff. Here's a resume of one of the hirelings of the office that tells about the fact that he basically wrote most of that stuff that I referred to. He wrote almost all of the 12 concepts, which haven't got anything to do with Narcotics Anonymous or NA service, except as people who don't know the truth have included them. His full resume is available in many places on the internet. His name was Lee Manchester. He was hired by the office. He was a member of AA, who started going to one NA meeting a week when he got out to us so that he would know a little bit about what we were talking about. Of course, he only heard Southern California, which doesn't sound like a high end, believe me. Oh, and here's the original 13 pamphlets, and the ones that are crossed out with red are the ones that aren't original NA pamphlets. The original ones were written by member addicts to give to addicts seeking recovery. The rest are all written by folks that believe they know better than good conscience. Everything you need for recovery, all for free, on our website. Here's our website. There should be something come up. Well, what's the call letters? Help, NAHelp.org, www.nahelp.org. Write that down. Or you can get it in print. I went through this briefly, but there's a book for sale from these guys out there in the front that describes all of that in great detail. And if you haven't read this book, your recovery is incomplete. It's called A Matter of Principle. Well, maybe your recovery is just fine. Your service is incomplete. Because if you really want to be of service to NA, you need to know the truth. And there's only three or four of us around the country telling you the truth. You can find it all yourselves if you do all the research. Oops, I went backwards again. There's an alternative where true service happens. It's growing bigger every year. It's called, as is, the Alternate Service Information Source for NA, and we have an annual meeting in June in Eastern Pennsylvania. If you watch closely, you'll see information and flyers. And there's a flyer back there in the room in the corner. Oh, here's the changes, by the way. On the right is how it was approved by the fellowship, and on the left is how it was changed. Again, changes. And that stuff's available somewhere too. This is talking about my home group's 12-step retreat. We have it every year. It's in January now. And there's my email if you want to send me an email. Ask questions or make comments or give me the finger. At our events, we also have discs with all the original material on disc where you can print and copy from, and also a copy of this PowerPoint presentation if you wanted to give it to your home group. I'll read this because I think it's cool. The spirit of NA that gives us recovery from addiction, that gave us our basic text, that gave us the valid growth of our fellowship, that lives in all of us today, is alive and well. It may be underground, marginalized, and discredited, but it's alive and well. It's in our abstinence from all drugs, our living in the 12 steps, and our honor of the 12 traditions and participation. It's a picture of my sponsor and some of the things that he said that motivated me. He always told me, if in fact we keep telling the truth to the best of our ability and hugging everybody as they come into the room, we can change the world. Oh, this is long. I'm not going to read all this because I'm running out of time. I guess if any of you have any questions, why, question me.
That he had this like company where he went around